Welcome to Toisvus Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Yud Zayin. Mirtz Hashem, today we are to begin the second perek of Bava Basra. The Mishnah appears at the lower part of the Omid, perek Lo Yachbor. On the side we have a topic heading called the Nosei, which reads Shiurei Harchoka Bein Mazikin VeNizokin. We'll be dealing with the required distancing between that element that could be the source of damage and that which could be damaged. The, we'll call the perpetrator and the victim. The Mishnah. Lo yachpor odom bor somuch leboro shel chavero. One shall not dig a pit near a pit of one's friend. Velo shiach velo ma'ora. These are also different types of diggings, different shapes, different technical situations. Velo amas hamayim, nor should one dig an irrigation ditch. Velo nivreches koifsim, nor a pool designed for washing clothing. Elim ken hirchik mikoisel chaveroi shloisha tvochim v'sod besit. This digging would be allowed only if he distanced himself from his friend's wall, a distance of 3 tvochim, and lines it with the sid. Sid, a type of lime coating. So this part of the Mishnah dealt with the distancing of a digging from something that was previously dug out. There are a number of difficulties, we'll say, or questions in the section of the Mishnah that we read. The dashed underlining that you may have noticed is in anticipation of the Gemara raising these questions. For example, the Mishnah opened up with a warning not to dig a pit near your friend's pit. And then it said, unless you distance yourself from his wall. But the Mishnah didn't open up speaking about distancing from a wall. Rather, it spoke about distancing from a pit. So there's an element of inconsistency in this Mishnah. And then later, there'll be a discussion focused on this lining of the pit. Is it in addition to the distancing? Or is it a separate suggestion? So here, in this part of the Mishnah, it seems to be in addition to the distancing, one would also have to line the pit that he's digging now. That will be in contrast to what we'll see in the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on, and here we're going to deal with the required distancing of different materials that, if they're placed in proximity of the neighbor's wall, if he has a wall separating his property from your property, and you have these materials that the Mishnah will list next to his wall, it could damage his wall. Umarchikin es hagefes. Gefes is material that results from the pressing of olives, the residue that remains after olives are pressed. It's called gefes. It's a material that has use. It's a heat-producing material, in fact. V'es ha-zevel, fertilizer. V'es ha-melach, salt. V'es ha-sid, the lime. V'es ha-sloyim. Rashi says ha-sloyim. Avonim sha'ur yotze mehen shikorin. And he gives you a French word. It seems to be some type of rock, maybe something like flint, that fire emerges from it. Shekol elu koshim lechoymoshim utzien hevel. All of these materials present a source of damage through heat. So all of these are to be distanced min hakoisel shel chavero shloshet tvochim. Keep it at a distance of 3 tvochim from your friend's wall. Rashi says, min ha-kaisel, kaisel levenim shel tit, habonoi al-gabi karka, v'lav b'bor koi hashtov. this point of the Mishnah, when it mentions keep these materials at a distance from your friend's wall, it's a simple wall, not a pit. And Rashi describes the wall is made of bricks fashioned from tit, from cement, mud or cement, and it's a wall built on the surface as opposed to a wall lining a pit. There's quite a discussion concerning the last words we read. Do you read it as O Sod Besid or V Sod Besid? The Gemara on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph will deal with that. Rashi there suggests that the Girsa here should be Oi Sod Besid. The Re in the Tosfos over here, Dibra Masl V'Sod, has the Girsa V'Sod Besid. The difference being that if you say V'Sod Besid, it means that in addition to the distancing of three Tfachim, you would have to also line or coat the material with Sid. If you read it O'Sod Besid, so you have two options. You can either distance the material or coat the material. We continue in the Mishnah. Marchikin es hazroim v'samachresho v'smei raglayim min ha-koysel shloish tvachim. One is to distance plants, plowing, and urine from someone's, from the neighbor's wall, three tvachim. U'marchikin es horechayim shloisha min ha-shechev shehen arbo min ha-rechev. It's worth using your Pirush Chai book of illustrations to appreciate this. You're dealing here with a grindstone that the lower part is wider than the upper part, so that the lower part, the shechev, is going to be three tvachim, must be distanced three tvachim from the neighbor's wall, and that represents a distance of four tvachim from the upper part of the grindstone, which is has a lesser diameter, smaller. So the distance from it to the wall would be four tvachim. The grinder presents a problem of vibration, so that if it's too close to the wall, the vibration will have ill effects on the neighbor's wall. And another distancing is v'yas ha-tanur shloishim min ha-kaya shein arbo min ha-sofa. The tanur, an oven, is also a utensil that is wider at the bottom, narrower as you go up. Tosfos has a slightly different take on it, but that's the basic idea, is that the lower part being wider is going to be a distance of three tvachim from the wall, while the upper part will be four tvachim from the wall. Rashi has a description. Let's learn the Rashi together. Vesa tanur shloshim min akalyo. Tanur is a kli cheres. It's a vessel made of clay, kli cheresu, sorof bikivshon. It's fashioned in a kiln. It's heated up and becomes hard clay, hollow interior. Kishar kederos, the way other pots are made. Upiv lemalo, and the opening is from atop. Vabo lekovo boretz, and one who wants to affix it to the ground. Oise binyan tit, vavonim shiulo lebosis, he fashions a type of foundation made of cement and stones. Umoshivan oisoi olov, and the hollow tanur is placed upon it. Shelo yitstanenu shulov machmas karka. With this cement foundation, the heat is maintained, as opposed to placing the hollow tanur directly on the ground, which will have a cooling effect, and you want to avoid that. V'oisu binyan osui b'shipua, and the foundation that we just described is b'shipua means at a slant, or it's not a vertical wall foundation. Rochav milamato v'kotzer milamalo, the foundation is wide at the very bottom, at its point of contact with the ground, and it narrows upwards at the point that you would attach the tanur to this foundation. Kamidas ha-tanur, the narrower upper part of the foundation would have a diameter that corresponds to the diameter of the tanur, of the oven. Tachtoinu kori kalyo, velyonu kori sofa. The bottom is called kalyo, and we saw in the Mishnah the positioning of the tanur shall be three tochim, meaning that's the distance between the foundation of the bottom of the foundation of the that's of the tanur to the neighbor's wall, and velyoinoi, the upper part of this foundation, is kori sofa, klomar svasa kalya, it's the upper edge of the kalya, svasa yono lefi shehevlish tanur koshelukais tzorach larchiko. The tanur, as opposed to the rechayim, which had been a problem of vibration, the tanur presents a heat-related source of damage. We now continue with the Gemara on Omid Beis. The opening of the Gemara deals with the seeming language inconsistency. Posach bebor umesayim bekoiso. You open up with the need to distance your new pit. When you dig your pit, distance it from your neighbor's bor. That's posach bebor. It opens, the Mishnah opens up with keeping your pit at a distance from the neighbor's existing pit. Umesayim bekoisel, in the continuation of that section of the Mishnah when it deals with the required distance, and keep it three tvachim from his wall. We weren't talking about a wall. We're talking about not digging a pit near your friend's pit. How do you say rectify this seeming inconsistency? We look also at Rashi at the top. Posav lebor somuch leboro shel chaviro. Don't dig your pit near your friend's pit. V'hadar siyem elim kain hirchik mikoisel. And then it continues. It says unless you keep a distance from his wall, havi le lemisni. It should have said elim kain hirchik miboro. You can dig your pit, not next to his pit, unless you keep a distance from his pit. Deilu mikoisloi, the word koslo that is in the Mishnah, koslo haboni al gabi kaku, it sounds like a wall that's built as a divider wall on the surface of the ground, having nothing to do with a pit. So we now continue in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Vitamer of Yehuda. When the Mishnah said, unless you keep a distance from his wall, it's mikoisel boru shaninu. It's from the wall of his pit. In other words, we open up with keeping with do not dig near his pit, and we say, unless you keep a distance from his pit. But the word koisel simply adds, unless you keep a distance from the wall of his pit. V'lisni elim ken hirchik miboru shel chaviru gimel tochim. Why not simply say, like the opening of the Mishnah, do not dig your pit unless you keep a distance from his pit. Why add the word koisel and tell me that it's a reference to the wall of his pit, when you could have simply used the word miboro? The Gemara answers, ha komash melon, by inserting the koisel and explaining it as Rav Yehuda does, that it's referring to the pit's wall, we are informed the koisel bor shloisha tvachim, that the thickness of a pit wall, in other words, a person digs a pit, and along with the pit, it has its wall, that a pit wall is three tvachim. Nafka mina lemekach umemka. This information has practical bearing on rules of commerce, commercial transactions. We now see a brisa that illustrates this. Kedisanya, as you see in the following, Ha'imer lechavero, bor v'kisla ani moicherloch. I am selling you a pit and its walls. Tzorch shei ha'kisel shloish tefachim. The pit wall has to measure three tefachim. The Rashi makes a couple of comments on the Gemara that we just read, and let's learn it together. Rashi, ha komashmlon, you'll see Rashi on the fifth narrow line, ha komashmlon, b'may dikotoni mikoisel boro, from that which the Mishnah is teaching us, keep a distance from the wall of the pit, lomadnu bo, shekoisel boro shel rishon, we learn from this that the the thickness of the wall of the first pit, of the initial pit that we're supposed to distance from, milei kol shloisha tvachim, it fills the entire three tvachim, shehuzkak gam hu l'archik min hametzar, that requires him as well. When he dug his first pit, he had to distance himself from the border three tvachim and then dig his pit. That distance of three tvachim represents the pit's wall. Umimai, and how do we know that? Midikotoni she chafiros chaloloi shelze eino mufleges mikosloi shelze elo shloisha tvachim. From that which we are taught, that the digging of the interior, the halal is the airspace of the pit, is at a distance of three tvachim from the wall of the other pit. Let's read that again. Shechafirus halalo shozeh eino muflegas mikosel shozeh elo shloisha tvachim. That original digger had to dig his pit three tvachim in from the dividing line between the two properties. The result is that the three tvachim that he had to move into his own property before digging the pit, those three tvachim represent the wall. Vashminan shiu rochav kosle bor. And with this information of keep your, when you dig your pit, distance yourself three tvachim from the wall of his pit, we're discovering that walls of pits are three tvachim. Rashi continues, v'nafka mina lemeka chomemkar. Vim tomar minolon shekoisel rishon hu have shiu archoka min ametzar. You might ask, how do you know that the wall of the first pit represented this distance of the shiu archoka, means a distance of distancing yourself from the border? When the first guy came to dig, there was nothing there. V'halo lohoya lechaveru bor somach lemetzar. There wasn't any previous bore when the first guy came to dig. Uplinki bo abaya v'rovo, we're in the next sugya, which is a rather long sugya. You'll see a machlokas abaya and rovo on this matter. V'shaminu le labai doma rishon eino tzorach laharchik. And abaya will in fact tell us that if you're coming to dig an initial pit, in other words, there's no other pit in the vicinity, you don't have to distance. You can dig right up along your property dividing line. So as far as that's concerned, how do we know that pit walls must be three tvachim? Tritz, so we answer, Hoshamino le Abai Gufe, Abai himself will explain the ukma, will set up the Mishnah, Kshivo lachbor basachas, Shishneim huskuku laharchi kol echad vechad shloisha tvachim. The Mishnah, when saying distance yourself three tvachim, is speaking about a very specific case where the two neighbors came simultaneously to dig their pits. Each one has to distance himself, say, from the borderline, move into their respective properties three tvachim, each one. So so from that we see that pit walls must be three tvachim. Yeah, and that has its nafkamina, as we just said, for in commercial matters as well. We now continue with the sugya just alluded to before, a rather long sugya. On the side, under our nosei, we indicate that this continues until Yud Ches Omid Beis. We've written, Habo Lismoch, Lachbor Boro Eitzel HaMeitzar, someone who comes to dig a pit near the border between his property and his neighbor. Bali Laharchik, Likones Lismoch Rishuso, without distancing and moving into his own property, bizman she'ein l'chaver bor, at a time that the neighbor doesn't have a pit. is that permitted? Can I come to the borderline between my property and my neighbors, my friends, and dig a pit right up along the borderline? Labaye somech, according to Abaye, that's permissible. The Rava eino somech, according to Rava, it's not permissible. Shortly into the Gemara, you'll notice Roman numerals 1 and 2, and they're featured under our mivne, our structural note. These are shnei lishonos b'Gemara, two versions, b'mai pligi Abaye v'Rava. What are the circumstances under which Abaye and Rava have their disagreement? B'sodeh ha'asui l'boros, are you dealing with property called a field that is designed for pits? Rashi explains an irrigation field that needs to have a dug-out water supplies, constant availability of water. That's one scenario. And then there's besod shenasi boros, a piece of property, an area that is not designed for irrigation purposes. The diamond marking will highlight the expression divrei hakol. So when you look at the Gemara, you'll see points concerning which both Abaye and Rava agree on. And ki pligi would be a double underline. You'll see in the Gemara point at which the disagreement between Abaye and Rava actually arises. We've also provided a chart that you can use in a review context, which highlights the machlokas Abaye and Rava, where Lashon 1 and Lashon 2 are featured, and the distinction between a sodesh she'eino asuya l'boros versus a sodesh asuya l'boros. Now, the Gemara. Itmar, habo lismoch, bitzad ha-meitzar. You notice the firebox around lismoch, because this is the point that occupies us for the balance of the sugya. Someone who comes to dig an initial pit. Betzada meitzar, right, means up along the dividing line between the two properties. The neighbor doesn't have any pits there yet. Abaye omer somech, Rav omer eino somech. Besodeh ha'asui l'boros, if you're dealing with an irrigation field, divrei hakol eino somech. Everyone agrees, meaning even Abaye agrees. In a case like that, you can't dig right up along the border line. That would force the neighbor to move in so much. It would be too much. And he too has a right, so to speak, to dig pits if it's a sodah asuya l'boros. So in a case like that, everyone agrees you're not soimech. Keep ligib sodah she'eino asuya l'boros. The machlokus arises in that case, where it's not expected, it's not anticipated that the next party will also want to dig a pit. Abaye omar somech, you can dig right up to the border. The whole eino asui l'boros. It's not a field that is anticipating the digging of pits, so that the first fellow doesn't have to take into consideration that the neighbor is also going to want to dig a pit. Rav omar eino somech, the omar lei. The neighbor can say, Ki hechi da'at imlechis v'chafris, just like you decided to dig a pit. Ano nami mamlachno v'chafarno. I also want to keep that option of deciding at one point to dig. So, once again, as we said, if you're going to dig right up along the border, that's going to force me to move in further into my property than I otherwise would have had to do. Iko diamri, another version. Besodeh shein asui l'boros, divrei hakol somech. If it's a non-irrigation kind of field, everyone agrees you can, if you're the first guy, you can dig the pit right up along the border. Ki pligi besodeh shein asui l'boros, a field that is designed for boros. Abaye omar somech. Abaye says, even there you can be soimech. Afilu l'rabonon, the amri marchiken eso ilon min abor esrim v'chome shamo. Right now, the Gemara is making reference to a machlokes tanoim that we haven't seen. A machlokes between the rabonon, and shortly we'll see a reference to Rabbi Yossi, where as Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that if one neighbor wants to dig a bore and the other neighbor wants to plant a tree, each one can do whatever they want right up to the border. That one doesn't have to take into consideration the other. And the Rabbanan disagree with that and say, they say that you have to, if you want to plant a tree, you have to, in your property, you have to make sure that it's 25 amos from your neighbor's pit so that the tree roots don't do any damage. So Abai says, in this case of a sodet, she'ena asuya boros, let me correct that. In a case of a sodet asuya boros, Abai says, you can be soimech, even according to the Rabbanan, that say, marchikin es ha'ilun min abor esrim v'chomesh amo, hosom hu de'be'idno de'konota iso labor. In that case where the Rabbanan say that you have to distance the tree you want to plant from your neighbor's pit, that's because the neighbor has a pit there. There's a pre-existing pit. So if you want to plant a tree in your property, distance your tree 25 amos from the pit. Avalocha, but in our case where you're dealing with a piece of property, there are no pits yet. Be'idno de kochofar, when the first guy wants to dig his pit, lesa labor, the neighbor doesn't have any pits there. So you're the first guy, you can dig right up along your the border. V'rova omar eino somech. In case of a sode who asil bars, you cannot dig up along the border. V'afilu Rabbi Yossi, the omar zeh choifer b'sof shelo v'zeh noteh b'sof shelo. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, who, when it came to the tree pit situation, each one does in his own property whatever he wants. Namely, one guy had a pit, and I have a tree. I can plant my tree right up along the border. Hani mili, that is so because hosom. Why Rabbi Yossi has no restrictions in that case? The beidna de konota, when you're planting the tree, lesnu l'shroshav demaski lo labor. The tree roots that ultimately could pose a source of damage to the neighbor's pit, they're non-existent. At the point that he's planting the tree, the tree doesn't cause any immediate damage. Avol hocha, but in this case, Omar le, the neighbor who doesn't have a pit, says to the one who was digging the pit, I don't want you digging up right along the border, because kol mora v'mora de kamochis kamarpis lo laroi. Each shovel full of earth that you dig into the ground, it if you're going to dig right up along the border, you're weakening the surface of my ground. That's marpis, is to loosen. You're loosening the earth in my portion. So that as Rava and Abaye see things, they have a polar machlokes regarding lismoch in a case of a soda ho asuya laboros. As we go on, we notice a triangle marking, and on the side we have the triangle with a point facing up, indicating somech, and they represent kushios al rova. We'll cite sources or comments that would represent a problem for Rova. The inverted triangle introduces sources that indicate eino somech, and hence kushios al abaye. They will be challenges to abaye. The Gemara, Tanan, lo yachpor odom bor somuch leboro shel chavero. We saw in our Mishnah, you shall not dig your pit near your friend's pit. So why am I to distance myself? Time with ikabor, because there is already a pit. The first guy already had a pit there, and that's not the topic of the machlokas Abaye and Rava. The topic of Abaye and Rava is the initial pit. So we see in our Mishnah the need for distancing. That's the distancing the second pit from a pre-existing pit. Ha lekobor, if there was no pit in the scenario, somech, then he could dig his pit right up along the border. Now, our Mishnah describes property, but doesn't say whether it's asuy leboros or ain't asuy leboros. But I want to emphasize one thing right now, that according to the, from the inference drawn from our Mishnah, we see somech, you're allowed to dig right up along the border. So bishlamo lahach lishno di amris besode shein asuy leboros divrei hakol somech, according to the second loshon in the Gemara that said in a non-irrigation field everyone holds you can be somech, then masnisen besode shein asuy leboros, our Mishnah could be describing that kind of field, and therefore the first one can dig right up along the border. And the Mishnah doesn't pose any difficulty to Rava. Rava can live with that. Elo lahach lishno de amris besode shenasu leboros pligi. According to Loshen number one, if it's a sode she'eno asu leboros, that is a point of disagreement. And in the case, in that Loshon, in Loshon number one, if it's asuy leboros, then everyone was in agreement that you're not somech. So obviously, according to the first Loshon, the inference drawn from our Mishnah that you're somech is inapplicable to sod asuy leboros, because there everyone agreed you're not somech. So the inference drawn from our Mishnah, according to the first Lashon, would have ramifications only with regard to Soda She'eno Asui Leboros. So Bishlamo Labai Nicha, according to Abai, fine, Abai said Somech. Yes, in the case of a Soda She'eno Asui Leboros, you can be Somech Elo La Rava Kashia. But according to Rava, if you follow the first version of our Gemara, there is no situation of being Somech. If it's a soda hasu lebros, everyone agrees eino somech. If it's a soda she'eino asu lebros, according to Rava, also eino somech. So according to the first Lashon, there's no possibility of somech, and yet we drew an inference from our Mishnah that you are somech. That poses a difficulty to Rava's position. Omar loch Rava. Rava responds, ha itmar alo. It was already stated, Omar Abaye, Vitemo Rav Yehuda, Mikoisel Boro Shoninu. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, the initial pit was not dug up along the border. We explained our Mishnah as saying you can't dig your pit next to your neighbor's pit wall. The initial digging of the first guy, as we saw earlier in the Rashi, his initial digging itself was involved distancing of three tvachim to account for the pit wall. And we look at Rashi together. Ha itmar. Rashi more or less across from here, a little line or two up. Ha itmar Allah mikosel baroshaninu v'lamadnu ba. We learned from that she'af horishon huskok laharchik kedei kosel. Even the initial digging was with a distancing enough to account for a pit wall. Shu shalish tefachin kenamoron. So with the explanation of Rav Yehuda, there is, and as far as our Mishnah is concerned, there's no scenario of actual somech, of digging the interior, the hollow of the pit, right up along the border. Ika diamri. You notice there's a bach, os aleph. Let's read it with the bach's girsa. Ika diamri, tanan, lo yachbor odom. The Bach you find in the lower, the end, the bottom of the page. Tanan lo yachbor odom bor somuch leboro shel chavero. And we continue now back in the Gemara's text, our text. V'itmar alo, and regarding the Mishnah that said lo yachbor odom Bor samach leborach shel chavero. It was stated, Omar Abai, v'tamer of Yudah, mikoisel boro shanino. Do not dig unless you distance yourself three tefachim from the first pit's wall. But the pit itself is not up along the border. So our Mishnah represents a point of view. Once you insert at the outset Rav Yehuda's understanding, our Mishnah represents a point of view of Eino Somech. So you can imagine, so far things are looking good for Rava. Bishlamo lahach lishna di amris besona su leboros divrei hakol Eino Somech. Things are fine or smooth according to the first lashon, that in a soda suila boros, an irrigation area, everyone agrees you're not soimik. Masisin besoda suila boros, and our Mishnah is dealing with that kind of property, and that's why ain't no soimich, not neither one. Ela lahach lishna the amris, according to the second lashon of the Gemara that said besoda suila boros. Plegi, that in an irrigation kind of field you have the machlokas, and in eino asui laboros, I'm adding, everyone agrees you're allowed to be somech. Bishlamo l'rova nicha, according to Rava that says eino somech. So fine, the Mishnah according to the second lashon would be speaking about suya laboros, and the Rava's position is eino somech. So that's fine. Our Mishnah presented that point, that position, that you're not somech. Elo labaye kashya, but according to the second loshon of the Gemara above, our Mishnah represents a difficulty. According to Abaye, he's matir being somech. In a case of a soda ho'asuya laboros. So just to review this last point, according to the second lashon of the Gemara, that in a soda ho'asuya laboros you have their machlokes, and in an eino asuya laboros everyone agrees soimech. In an eino asuya laboros, Abaye says you're also somech. What are you going to do with the Mishnah that said eino somech? Omar loch Abaye, masnisen, our Mishnah that suggests eino somech is shebo lachbo b'vasachas. That's where the two parties come simultaneously to dig their respective pits. If they're both coming at the same time, so even Abaye acknowledges you can't have each one digging right up along the border. Each one's pit would collapse into the next one's pit. There'd be no separation, no distancing. However, if they're not coming lachbor babas achas, then even according to our Mishnah, you could be soimech. So at this point, we have raised our Mishnah as a source of difficulty. According to the first lashon, we saw there was a difficulty posed to Rava, and he answered that. And according to the second, and likewise with regard to the second lashon in the Gemara, the Ikod Yamri, we saw what might have been a problem for Abaye, and he just answered that. Ta Shma. And we now present a source, and the initial direction is to show Eino Somech. Sela Habo Biodayim. Crumbly quality earth. Ze Choyfer Boro Mikan, Veze Choyfer Boro Mikan, Ze Marchik Shloisha Tvochim, Vesod Besid, Veze Marchik Shloisha Tvochim, Vesod Besid. We have very clear instructions here that in this kind of situation, each one is allowed to dig a pit. However, each one must move in from the border three tefachim, and also line his pit with the sid. So, what's the Gemara's initial point here? The initial point is that you have to be marchik. You can't be soimech. That then would be a problem for Abaye. The Gemara answers, Bobby Adayim Shiny. Crumbly earth, crumbly quality earth, that's different. Whereas even Abaye understands, even Abaye agrees that a case like that, Abaye never said his point of view of Samech under those circumstances. We have a bracketed section. Within the brackets, the Gemara analyzes what was the hava mina to even quote this source in an attempt to question Abaye when the answer seemed to be so obvious. Following the brackets, we continue with the general scheme of raising questions from sources against one of the opinions. So now, within the brackets, Udakori law, my Kori law. The one who raised the question, what was his kavona, what was he thinking when he raised the question? The Gemara answers, his thinking was that in general, you have to distance yourself. As far as the source is concerned, what was the agenda of the source? Let me repeat this. As far as the makshin here, in trying to present a question on Abaye, the makshin was of the opinion that the Tana in this source says you always have to be marchik. If that's the case, why does this source feature crumbly earth? Bo biyodai mitzterichalei. It was necessary to teach the scenario of crumbly earth for the following reason. Sagadai tachamina, I would have thought, without it being stated explicitly, I would have thought, Keva the Bobi Yodayim, since it's crumbly quality earth, Liboinami Revochat Fe, that you'd have to move in from the border even more than three tvachim. Komashamalan, three tvachim is sufficient. Three tvachim is sufficient for crumbly earth, and in general, you have to be marchik as well. And if you accept that analysis, then you could see how the source might have been a difficulty for Abaye. However, at the end of the day, we don't say that. The Gemara answered unequivocally that crumbly earth is simply a different scenario, and only there would you have to move in, but if it's solid, compacted earth, you wouldn't have to move in. Toshma, and here we have a quote, which would lead us to conclude that you are allowed to be Samech. It says, quote from our Mishnah, Marchikim is a Gefes, is a Zevel, is a, we continue at the top of Daf Yud Chesom and Aleph, HaMelach, is a Sid, is a Sloim, Mikoslo Yishel Chaveroi, Shloish Tfochim, Oisod Besid. The Mishnah describes the need to distance yourself from your friend's wall if you have these we'll say heat generating materials. Now, why must you distance yourself? Why is it that you can't put these materials right up on the border, so to speak? So that, in other words, the need for distancing, this Mishnah, this quote from the Mishnah mentioned marchikin, you have to marchik taimo deika kaisel. The reason you have marchik is because there is a wall there. You have to distance if your friend has something that can be damaged. It's already existing, so you can't put a source of damage right up against that element that could be damaged. Halekha, if there was no wall, we can infer from here soymech, that you would have been able to be soymech. You would have been able to put the heat generating materials right up along the border. That would be a difficulty for Rava. The Gemara rejects this and says, lo, hileka kaisel nami lo samech. Even in the event that there is no wall, you still would not be allowed to put things right up along the border. Velamai komashmlon. So what is the point of the Mishnah in featuring a case where there is a wall? If you're telling me that you're going to have to be marchik under all circumstances, then why do you mention a case where there's a wall, if not for inference purposes? Ho komashmalon, dehani koshu lekosel. it's important for us to know, in general, that these materials are injurious to walls. But as far as Rava is concerned, the Mishnah is not teaching the case of wall in order to draw an inference to a case where there is no wall. But even in a case where there's no wall, you still would not be allowed to put the stuff right up along the border. We now turn to the Tosafot. We're turning to the Yud Zayin Omed Aleph for the Tosafot that represent the first Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek. In the middle of the Tosafot page, the first line of the Mishnah, Dibur Maskel Lo Yachpor, the Tosafot says, Kol Hani Airi De'is Behu Maya. All of the examples are examples of diggings that have within them water. V'taymo Mishum Ma Tunta. And the restriction in the Mishnah is because of the damage that they would cause through wetness, through matunta, has to do with dampness and wetness. Kinamrinon begamara. As the Gemara says on Daf Yud Ches Omer Aleph, 10 lines from the top. So that when our Mishnah says, do not dig these things near your friend's pit, the bor, the shiach, the maora, amasamayim, the vechzakosim, don't dig these things near your friend's pit, because these diggings will have within them water, and the water creates dampness, and that will be a source of damage to your friend's pit. V'tema l'ri. The Ri raises a question as far as this analysis. We say in our Gemara, and you'll notice this was a statement that appeared 25 lines from the top of the Gemara that we learned already on Omid Beis, quote, Kol Moro Umoro de Komochis. The explanation of the Mishnah of do not dig a pit near your friend's pit. Why not? Because each shovel digging, each pounding of the shovel in the ground is weakening the earth, is weakening the neighbor's property. So the problem of digging the second pit, the second neighbor who starts digging a pit, the problem is the loosening of the neighbor's earth, not a problem of dampness. The Omer Ri, or is the Ri who raised the question, he says, Delo Ka'omar, the statement of each shovel full of earth, of the pounding of the shovel, weakens the first guy's property. Elo Sheme Oisesha Maskel Ahezek. From that moment that the second guy starts digging, from that moment, damage starts to set in. The Kavon de Betchila Sahezek Havu Giri Delay. And since at the beginning of the damage, it's direct force damage. The literal translation is, it's as if he's giri, or arrows delay, his arrows, it's as if he's shooting arrows into his friend's property. In that form of damage, moide rabiosi. Rabiosi himself will concede that that's prohibited. Rabiosi, who in general says, you dig in your property, you plant in your property without any distancing considerations. We mentioned that in our Gemara Shir, in our Gemara section. But if it's a case of damage that's immediate, direct force damage,
even Rabbi Yossi will agree that it is not permissible. Umihu, ilav mishum maya, however, if not for the water consideration that we mentioned at the beginning of the Tosfos, lo hayotzorech harchoka gimel tvachim, we would not have insisted on the distancing of three tvachim. So the water consideration remains a consideration, even though the Gemara made reference to the pounding of the earth. The pounding of the earth made it such that even Rabbi Yossi would agree that there is the need for distancing. We continue now with the Tosfos Dibur Maschil, Lo Shiach. This corresponds to the second line of the Mishnah. Lo Shiach Lomara Vuadin, the same restriction will apply, namely do not dig Haritzen Uneitzen. So different forms of ditches. Each kind of digging has its own name. There's a Shiach, there's a Mara. Use, of course, the Pirush Chai for illustration purposes. Vahani look at the reference to Shiach and Mara. In other words, the list of the Mishnah, according to Tosfos, was not an exhaustive list. The list of the Mishnah was partial. And the choosing of Shiach and Ma'ora, Vahani Nokan Agav Bor, since Bor was mentioned, do not dig a Bor, Shiach and Ma'ora were mentioned as well. The B'chol Mokom, Rogil Lishna Shiach Ma'ora, Bahadi Bor, it's characteristic and customary of the Gemara that whenever it makes reference to a bor, it will make reference to Shiach and Mora alongside that, along with it. The Amah Samayev in Evreches HaKosin, what about those examples that were in the Mishnah? The irrigation ditch and the washman's pool, the Ein Rogil Lishnoisam Gabi Bor, you don't find them taught in any level of regularity along with bor. Meforesh b'Gemara de Tzrichi Tzrayev, the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, six lines from the bottom, will explain why those two needed to be taught. Umihu, ha lo meforesh, amai lo havish shaminon lehu libor. However, it's not explained why the other diggings and the need for distancing them couldn't have been derived from bor, from the example of bor. And simply say, just like by bor, you need, when you're digging a bor, you need to distance it from the neighbor's pre-existing bor. It would have seemingly been possible for the Mishnah to say, simply lo yachbor bor somoch leboros shel chavero, unless you distance three tvachim, and then I would have been able to figure out the rest. Demotzi lemeimar, and now what Tosfos does is he explains why that in fact wouldn't have been possible. Why would I not have derived the other the restriction regarding the other diggings from bor? The motzi lemeimar, the bor v'shiach, there was room to say that these things, bor and shiach, let me be just a little bit more accurate when it comes to the amas amayim and the vreches hakeifsin. Those, why could they not have been derived from the case of the bor? The Mishnah taught bor, shiach, mora. Fine, wouldn't that have been enough? Could I not have derived amasamayim and evreches hakeifsin from them? So Tosfos explains that bor and shiach, the amukim tfei, they happen to be very deep. Boy harchokas shloisha, they would require a distancing of three tvachim. Avol hanoch, the lo amiki, the amas hamayim, the nevrech hakosin, they're not so deep. the lo amiki kule hai, they're not so deep. Have amino the lo boy harchokas shlosha. I would have thought that that you don't need to distance them three tfachim from the neighbor's pit. So that you can see right away that by teaching just the case of Bor, Shiach Mora, I would not have been able to derive the halach of three tfachim distancing with regard to Amasamayim Nivrachas HaKlipsim. V'i Tonahani, and had I taught these, that they require the distancing of three tfachim, Have Amino, and then let me just say that again. Had they taught the case of Amas Hamayim and the Nivrechas HaKeifsin, that those require a distancing of three tfachim, Have Amino, I would have thought the Bor V'Shiach, the Amiki Tvei, that those which are even deeper when you dig them, boy, Harchoka Yoser Migimol, they would necessitate a distancing of more than three tfachim. So with these points in mind, we understand why it's necessary to teach Bor Shiach and Mora and Amasamayim Nivrechas HaKeifsim and not taught just one group and expect me to figure out the other. Ubeperek Kapora in Bava Kama, there the Gemara spoke about one digging a pit in a public thoroughfare, and someone's animal, a shor, a chamor, fell into it. There, the Gemara said, the digging includes whether you're digging a bor, a shiach, or mora. And Tosfos goes on, Disnan, echad achofer bor, v'shiach u'moros, u'matzrich luhu l'kulu b'gemara. There, the Gemara says it's necessary to teach each one of these examples. Why it had to teach each one and not just teach one and let me figure out the other examples. Hosam nicha de lo havile letano lemin ketinu agav bor. There, it's understandable, it's reasonable why each one had to be spelled out. And not simply, let's say, rely on the idea we mentioned before that they're taught automatically along with Bor. Kevan dechtiv Bor bekra, since the Pasuk specifies pit, it says in the Pasuk, ki yichre ish Bor, in Shmos perachof ala Pasuk lamigimot, elo havi le lemisni Bor lechudei. There in Bava Kama, there was let's say, reason to think that since the Pasuk mentioned Bor, the Mishnah should have mentioned just Bor. And therefore, the Gemara had to go out of its way to explain why the Mishnah added Shiach and Ma'ora. And because there was a Pasuk that specified Bor, so the Gemara had to go out of its way and say why the Mishnah mentioned Shiach and Ma'ora as well. In our Gemara, we're not dealing with something that's pasuk based. The reference to the Shiach Mora is, as Tosis mentioned earlier, simply because when you see Bor taught, it's customary for the Mishnah to list Shiach Mora along as well. We continue now with Tosis Dibur HaMaslo Sloyim. It corresponds to seven lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph. And we saw in the Mishnah that one is to maintain a distance of Sloyim from the neighbor's wall. And at this point we had seen in Rashi that we're dealing with a regular wall, we're not dealing with pit walls. And Tosfos comments, Avonim, the stones that one must keep at a distance, she'esh yotze mehen, v'lo silei nechoshes. Stones that are capable of producing fire, we suggested when we were learning the Mishnah, maybe something like flint stones, stones that generate heat, and not coins. The word sloyim throughout the Shas is used in reference to a denomination of currency. So Tosus is making it clear that when the Mishnah speaks about keeping sloyim away from the neighbor's wall, we're not referring to silei nechoshes, literally copper coins, but rather stones, in the simple understanding. The ein derech lanichon etzal ksolim. It's not a normal practice to have coins deposited near walls. So when the Mishnah says keep stones away, keep sloyim away from walls, it's the simple stone which one might have a pile of them in his on his property. So that is what one keeps away. The Mishnah wouldn't be telling us keep away something that you anyway wouldn't have there in the first place, namely coins. I want to, in anticipation of what we're going to see as Tosfos goes on, Tosfos is could be understood at this point as learning, like Rashi does, that the stones represent a source of heat, just like the previous items mentioned in the Mishnah, Gefe, Zevel, Melach, and Sid, and heat producing items could pose a danger, source of ruination for the neighbor's wall. So Rashi's point was very clear. He said it, they're kushim l'choymish emotzi and hevel, they create heat. And Tosfos seems to be going along those lines. That's at this point. We continue. The Ha D'Omar v'Yerushalmi, in Yerushalmi, dealing with, in Maseches Shabbos, dealing with the laws of Hatmona, wrapping food items, wrapping pots in order to maintain their heat. There's an Isur, there's a prohibition of being Matmin in things that are Moisev Hevel, that increase the heat level. So in that context, is tona toni toimin bisloim, the is tona toni ain toimin. There seems to be two Tanaic sources that are contradictory. One says you can do hatmona in sloim, and the other source says you cannot do hatmona in sloim. And the Gemara there answers, kan bisloim shel kesef, kan bisloim shel nechoshes. The Gemara there makes a distinction between two different kinds of coins, different kinds of materials from which the coins are produced. Silver coins versus copper coins. And the Gemara there is saying that the prohibition of hatmona in coins is if they are made of silver. That would then convey the idea that silver coins are moisev hevel, they produce heat, and copper coins, which don't produce heat, so they would be allowed for hatmona. So there, in Masechah Shabbos, a distinction is made when the term sloim appears, a distinction made within two categories of coins. So Tosfos points out, have motzi lishnuye, there could have been room for making the following distinction. Kan b'shloim shel avonim, kan b'shel kesef. Now, at this point, the Marsha, and it's quoted in the Sefer Tosfos HaMavor, the Marsha points out that up till this point, one could have assumed that Tosfos was learning, like Rashi, that the reason for keeping stones far from the wall is because they are a source of heat. However, what Tosfos is about to say, from this point on, we will submit that this is a pirush according to the Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel explains that stone distancing from walls is not It has nothing to do with heat. But rather, the presence of stones causes an erosion of the, if they're placed close to a wall, they'll produce erosion of the foundation of that wall. So you want to keep the stones away, so whatever erosion results from the presence of stones, it won't affect the base of the wall. So with that, let's say, new approach to stone distancing, we are to understand what Tosfos is saying, that as far as the laws of Hatmona are concerned, a distinction could have been made between stones and silver coins. Namely, that stones, we'll say non-heat producing stones, regular stones, they could be used for Hatmona. Silver coins, being that they generate heat, are not allowed to be used for Hatmona. So, that's a nice distinction. Why then did the Yushami make a distinction between silver coins and copper coins? The Yushami wanted to make a distinction within the realm of metals. But I repeat, the beginning of Tosfos and his the attitude towards stones seem to be like Rashi, keep the stones away because they're heat producers. But here, as far as using that understanding and attempting to apply that to the Yerushalmi and the suggested chiluk between Sloim Shalavonim and Sloim Shel Kesef, you couldn't be viewing there the stones as a source of heat. How would one have been permitted to do Hatmona in stones if that were the case? So as we said, there seems to be a change or a transition here in the Tosfos understanding of stones and what their, I'll say, source of damage is. Certainly, to the latter part of Tosfos, you can see that the understanding of stones and their source of damage was simply as a source of wall foundation erosion and not something that's heat related. We now continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil V'Salka V'Sod B'Sid. We recommend that one learns the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes on an Aleph, several lines from the top on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, in order to appreciate the Gemara over here. So if you turn, if you have that available, the Gemara there, 13 lines from the top, the Gemara says V'sod B'Sid, and this refers back to the fourth line of the Mishnah, which spoke about keeping your pit away from the neighbor's pit, three Tvachim, and then it said V'sod B'Sid. So let's look at that Gemara by way of introduction to our Tosfos on Daf Yutes Omer Aleph. Iboy Aloho. The Gemara asks there on Yutes, V'sod B'Sitran Odilma O'Sod B'Sitran. Is the Mishnah telling me that V'sod B'Sit, in addition to the Har Choka, you also have to line your pit with Sid? Or it's an alternative? If you're not going to distance your pit, but the pit that you're going to dig, you're going to have to line with Sid. That's Oysod B'Sid. So the Gemara says, and here we have there's a back and forth discussion, Pshita Devisod B'Sid Tanan. It's obvious that it's in addition to the distancing. The Isakadait of the Oysod B'Sid Tanan, if you were to think that it's Oysod B'Sid, then Im Kain Lervinu V'Lisinu. Then what is taught as the Reisha of the Mishnah should have been taught together with the middle part of the Mishnah, where the Gemara seems to be sure that regarding the distancing of the heat-producing materials, the Gefes, the Zevel, the Sid, the stones, that there it's definitely Oy Sod B'Sid, as either distancing or lining, covering with Sid. So from the fact that the Mishnah is taught in two separate sections, it must be that they're two separate ideas. First part of the Mishnah is Visod B'Sid. In addition to this, is saying also lining with the Sid. And the middle part of the Mishnah is either distancing or Sod B'Sid. Gemara says, that's not convincing. Dilma Mishum Dolodomi Hai Hezeka La Hai Hezeka. It could be that the reason for the separation of the first part of the Mishnah and the middle part of the Mishnah, namely, it could be that the first part of the Mishnah is really Oysod B'Sid, as a choice between distancing or covering with the Sid. Why are they not taught together? It's because the nature of the damage is different. Reisha Zeka Dema Tumta. The beginning of the Mishnah represents damage through dampness. Seifa Hezeka Tehevla. And the latter part of the Mishnah is Hezek through heat producing. So the Gemara continues. Toshma Reb Yehuda Omer Sela Bo B'Yadayim. Crumbly earth. Let's say crumbly quality earth. Zechover boro mikan, zechover boro mikan. Zemarche gimel tvachim visod besid. Zemarche gimel tvachim visod besid. And why do you need to have in the digging of the pit there, in addition to the distancing, the lining with sid? Taimo de bo biodayim. Ha lo bo biodayim lo. If it wasn't crumbly earth, then you wouldn't need to have both. So the Gemara wants to say at this point that it's you don't need to have both. The Gemara rejects that. Hu adin diafagav the lo bobi odayim nami sod besid. In addition to the, it means even if it wasn't crumbly earth, you would need to have both. And nevertheless, it was necessary to teach the case of Obiadayim, not to infer that non-crumbly earth you wouldn't need both, but in both cases you need to have Sod B'Sid and Harchoka. Why does the source emphasize crumbly earth? Since it's crumbly earth, you would need to have a greater distance than 3 Tvachim. Kumash will know that even for crumbly earth, 3 tvachim is sufficient. But just like there, you need to have both. In a regular earth situation, you would also need to have both. So that's as far as the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes, where the Gemara was not sure of how the Reisha of the Mishnah should be, how the Girsa should be. In the ratio of the Mishnah, and it tried to come to a conclusion that concerning the ratio from the Seifa, or from the middle part of the Mishnah. Tosfos now that we have here on Daf Yud Zayin Visod B'Sid Nira Lari the Beseifa Nami Goras Visod B'Sid Velo Goras Oy. Very, very interesting. The Re suggests contrary to what the Gemara Yud Tes seemed to say that, namely, that in the Seifa of the Mishnah, it should read Visod B'Sid as well. And by the way, you'll notice in our Mishnah text itself that there was this sensitivity or this recognition that the girsa should be visod besid. It has in our printed version of the Gemara the word o you find in parentheses. The presence of the word o in our Mishnah, though it's in parentheses, would have been the simple understanding of how the Mishnah should be read based on what we saw in on Daf Yutes. Nevertheless, the Ri says that the girsa should be visod besid. The igar sinan besefa oy sod besid. If the girsa was in fact oy sod besid, namely this or that, distancing or sid, im kain tifshot debereisha visod besid tanan, then it would have been obvious that the first part of the Mishnah is visod besid, both. Midelo katoni oy sod bereisha kamo besefa, from the fact that the reisha has a different text than the seifa. Elavadai besefa namigoras visod. So, since the Gemara on Daf Yutes wasn't clear, it must be that both the reisha and the seifa had the same girsa. Just to repeat, as far as the Ri is concerned, if the Seifa had as its girsa oy sod besid, then it would have been clear that the Reisha is visod besid. But since the Gemara was debating the matter, it seems that the Seifa had visod besid and therefore couldn't conclude that the Reisha is necessarily something else. The hod pshita le ba Gemara, the besefa have oy sod besid. See, here Tosfos is sensitive to the simple understanding of the Gemara there on Yud Tes. It appeared when we were learning the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes that the Gemara took as a given that in the seifa of the Mishnah it's oy sod besid. Hainu mishum di ein hahezek kol kach meruba. The damage that is referred to by that middle section of the Mishnah is not as great as the damage that might be caused by the pits referred to in the early part of the Mishnah. So, as far as the understanding of the Seifa, and I emphasize that term, the understanding of the Seifa, the Gemara on Yud Tes understood that, and even though the Girsa might have been Visod Besid, as Tosfos himself suggested, the understanding of the of Visod Besid, the Vav of the word Visod, is we call the Vav HaMachalik, a vav of distinction, as opposed to the vav amoisif, vav of addition. So in the seifa, where the Gemara was, where the girsa, as far as the Ri is concerned, was also visod besid, but it's clear to the Gemara on Daf Yutes that the understanding is oy sod besid. And why? Because the hezek there isn't so pronounced. It's not such an intense level of damage source that Sid alone could not have prevented. So just to summarize, as far as the Ri is concerned, the reason the Gemara had doubts about how the Girsa should appear in the Reisha is because the same girsa appears in the seifa. However, as far as the understanding of the seifa is concerned, there the understanding is one of distinction. We continue with the next tesis, Divra Masu Kalya, and this refers, this Tosfos, we recommend, as we always do, the use of the Pirush Chai. We're describing the Tanur and the distancing of it. We saw three from the bottom and four Tvochim from the upper part. In learning Rashi, three, four was a statistic that was actually referring to the concrete base that we construct upon which we eventually put a tanur. But the Rabbeinu Chananel, he has a different take. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, beten de tanur tsor mi lamata v'emtsiyosu marchiv ubole v'yotze kishur tefach v'emtsiyosu meitzar v'oila. The shape of the tanur is one where at the low part of the tanur it's actually somewhat narrow. In the middle part, we call the belly of the tanur, the diameter widens, and as you move up to the top, it then narrows again. So the reference to the three tefach distance between the tanur and the wall is a measure from the protruding belly of the tanur. The reference to a four tefach distance is when you're measuring the distance of the tanur, this is the wall from the narrow part of the tanur. We continue now with the Tosfos at the top of Omid Beis. Divur HaMasvil Posach. Here we're referring to the Gemara at the top line. And the issue was the seeming language inconsistency of the Mishnah. Posach Bebor. The Mishnah opened up about keeping a do not dig your pit near the pit of your neighbor. V'siyim b'koysel. And then when qualifying matters, how to provide for your digging of the pit, it said, provided you keep a distance from his wall. So make up your mind. Are we talking about your pit is being dug near his pit, or is your pit being dug near his wall? Then, as the Gemara went on, we saw that the reference to Kaisel was Kaisel Boro. Bekuntris, Tosfos continues, Bekuntris Goras, Bosur Dishoni, Mi Kaisel Boro Shoninu, the Rashi Girsa of the Gemara. After the Gemara, after we saw the Gemara give Rabbi Yehuda's answer, namely Mi Kaisel Boro Shoninu, the continuation of the Gemara is, ah, Velisni Elohim Kain Hirfik Miboro. Why not have that as the Girsa in the Mishnah? And by the way, this is our Girsa in our Gemara as well. V'eino Nira Kemo Shafarish. Tosfos does not like the Rashi Girsa. In other words, he objects to our Girsa in the Gemara. When it said, where the Gemara said, why not have as the text Elim Kain Hirfik Miboro Shel Chavero? Tosfos says, I don't like that Girsa, as I will explain. When he says, as I will explain, that's in the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMasel Mikaisel. Ve'i Goras Law, if you're going to have that Girsa, though, Hachi Goras Law, then the Girsa of the Gemara shall be as follows. And here he goes back over the beginning. Posach Bebor, V'siye Bekoisel, Ah, V'lisni Elim Kain, Hirchik Miboro, V'chein Mashma Mitopius Rabbeinu Chananel. And it appears that's also the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel, based on his explanation. Now, Tosfos goes on with a structural observation in contrast with another Gemara. The Aval Gab de Beresh HaMeniach, at the beginning of the third parak above a comma, the Mishnah speaks of one who left a vessel in a public thoroughfare. The Mishnah there says, HaMeniach es HaKad b'Shusarabim, and I'm reading from the Gemara above a comma, then Bal HaChov is Chayev B'Nizko. One left a vessel called a Kad in Rishus HaRabim, and someone came along and tripped over it, and broke it, so the passerby does not have to compensate for the breaking of the Kad. And then it says, and if the passerby experienced damage as a result of his contact with the vessel, then Huzak Ba, then it says Bal HaChovis. Why the change in term? It should it not have said Bal HaKad Chayav Benizko? And yet it doesn't. It changes to Bal HaChovis. And with that background in mind, Tosfos says that even though there in Bava Kamma Kiporech, when the Gemara asks Pasach B'Kad V'Siyim B'Chovis, you opened up the Mishnah there with the word Kad, and then you in the end of the Mishnah use the word Chovis. Lo komesayim, there the Gemara doesn't go on with a suggestion similar to what we have over here. V'lishneim huzak bala kad v'chulei. While, you know, like, why not? Why over here does the Gemara go on with its suggestion in light of the seeming inconsistency of language? And there the Gemara remains silent. So Tosfos says, ein loshen ha-Gemara shove. The language of the Gemaras is not expected to be exactly alike from one Masechta to the next. Sometimes the Gemara elaborates, is lengthier, and sometimes it's more concise, more terse, as is the case over there in Bava Kamma. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibra Maslu Mikoisel. This is a reference to the Gemara, three lines from the top. Mikoisel Boro Shoninu, when the Mishnah said, unless you, when you're digging the pit, you can't dig it near your friend's pit, unless you keep a distance from the wall of his pit. That's Mikoisel Boro Shoninu. Klomar, Lo Mechalal Boro Komar, when you dig your pit, you're going to distance yourself three tefachim, not from the interior of the pit. Elo mikoisel shiyesh labor sharishon himiach kishechof aboro. You're going to be distancing three tefachim from the wall of the pit that the first one dug. Then when he dug his pit, in such a way that it also had a wall to it. Umehach milsa to Rav Yehuda Daikala Kamon, and from that which Rav Yehuda explained here, Mikoisel Boro Shoninu, the Gemara 14 lines from the top is Medayek de Oser Lismoch, that when digging an initial pit, you cannot dig the pit on the border. Midohuzku Karishan Loniach Kaisel Uparch Mino Labaye, from the fact that this was raised as a from the fact that there was this wall, it was used as a question on Abai who was allowing you to be Soimech. Tosfos now continues, Vahashta lo efshir migris. Vahashta meaning, and now that we've explained that Mikoisel Boro Shoninu, you can't have as a girsa, our girsa. You can't have the following velisni as a suggestion. Elo im kain hirchik mi boro. The im kain, if you're going to have that as a suggestion, have a mashma mechalal boro. It's like you just contradicted what you said up till that point by saying, well, why not have as the girsa in the Mishnah elo im kain hirchik mi boro? But that mi boro would imply the space, the hollow of the pit, not the wall. And we just got finished explaining that when the Mishnah says Elim Kain Hirchik Mikoisel Chavero, it means the wall of the pit. So to suggest having a girsa that works against you is ridiculous. Uma, now on the other hand, that in fact is our girsa. And we'll say that Girsa is because of Rashi. Umasha Piresh Akuntris, that which Rashi explains in the Dibur Masel Velisni, the Ihavi Toni Miboro, had the Mishnah said, Ellen Cain Hirchik Miboro, Have Yadino the Mikoisel Boro Komar. I would have understood on my own that it means from the wall of the pit. Dehi Mechalal Boro Komar. For if it meant from the halal of the boar, Ein ze kines l'soich shelo klum v'chule. The second guy who comes to dig his pit, then if he's going to be distancing himself from the halal of the first guy's pit, the second guy, would not be moving into his own domain at all. And yet the language of the Mishnah was Elim Kain Hirchik. Hirchik means he has to move into his own property. Now, of course, Rashi is saying that in light of the answer of Rav Yehuda, that Mikoisa Boro Shaninu. So the fact that Rashi himself had no problem with the word Boro, as far as Rashi is concerned, that had to mean Mikosel Boro, otherwise the second guy would not have been moving in at all. Girsas Sifroi Dachaksoi, the Girsa that Rashi had, namely that he had the Girsa like we have, immediately following Rabbi Yehuda's explanation of Mikosel Boro Shaninu, he had the Girsa Velisniam Kain Hirchik Miboro. So Rashi had to say that Miboro meant from the wall of the pit, as he explained. And it couldn't have meant from the interior of the pit, otherwise the second guy wouldn't have been moving into his property whatsoever. Avol ein nireh. But I, says Tosfos, I don't like the girsa. Devada itoni miboro, if the Mishnah had used the word miboro, have amino mechalal boro ko'omar v'shori lismoch. It would have implied that the second guy is distancing himself from the interior of the first guy's pit, who had dug on the border, who had dug his pit out right on the border, and then come to the conclusion that the first guy was allowed to be somech. Ve'im horishon hirchik me'elov min ha'meitzar gimel tvachim o'yoser. And if the first guy happened to have, on his own, started his digging three tvachim or more away into his property, moving in three tvachim from his board, from the border, have amino, I would have had room to think, the hasheni yochol lismoch ad ha'meitzar. That if the first guy dug his pit three tvachim into his property, then the second guy could have dug right up to the border. Ve'im kein, and with all that in mind, in order so that you should not have that mistaken understanding, tzorech lishan lishnois mikoisloi. Namely, when the Gemara says the lisni elim kein hirchik, don't say miboro, ella, you should have it as the girsa, listening, elim kein hirchik, mi koislo shel chavero gimel tvachim. In other words, if the, mi koislo boro gimel tvachim. In other words, if Rav Yehuda's answer is to be accepted, mi koislo boro shaninu, then it should have said in the Gemara, velisniam kein hirchik, Mikoisel boro shel chavero gimel tvachim. And that's what the girsa should have been, lashminen, to tell us the osur lusmoch l'rova. And by having that as the girsa, then things are very clear that the first guy could not have dug right up to the border. Tzorech Harchoko Bein Shnei Aboros Shisha Tvachim. And according to Abaye, who said that in principle you're allowed to be Soimech, we had to explain the Mishnah where there is Harchoka, that the two people came to dig at once, and being that they both came to dig at once, each one moving in three tvachim, so the distance between the two boroughs is six tvachim. Umihu yesh liyashev hagirsa. However, we can preserve the girsa of miboro with its implication of halal boro. Uporech aliba de abaye. And the Gemara is asking its question with Abaye, we'll say with Abaye in mind, according to Abaye. De Aliba Dide Kaima. Abaye is the one who appeared on the second line from the top of the Gemara. Abaye is the one, either Abaye, some versions have Rebuta, he is the one that is saying, Mikaisel Boro Shanino. So that the Gemara, when it says Velisni Elohim Kain Hirchik Miboro Shel Chaveru Gimel Tvachem, is a question according to Abaye, Dalibo Dide Kaimo Velisni Elohim Kain Hirchik Miboro Shisha Tvachem. And the reference to distancing from the halal of the boar is when they, as Abaye explained the Mishnah, the two came to dig at once, and if the two come to dig at once, the distance between their respective boros, and here we can say the halal of their boros, would be six tvachim. So that you can maintain the girsa, since we're working within Abaye, and Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah, as the Gemara says later, is a case where the two came to dig at once. So the final distance, the minimum distance between the two halal boros, in fact, would be six tvachim. So the girsa of the Gemara can, in fact, be maintained, since we're dealing within the opinion of Abaye. We continue now with the next Tosfos. Dibra Maschil Lemai. This corresponds to the Gemara five lines from the top. Lemai Nafgamina Lemekach Umemkar. When the Gemara said that we can learn from the Mishnah that the wall of a pit is three tvachim, this has a practical application for matters of commerce. Hai nafkusa, pointing this out as an outcome, as a practical application, lo itzrich l'rova. It's not necessary for rova, deha komash malon. As far as rova is concerned, the Mishnah with its teaching of keeping the distance mikosel boro, that itself teaches me da'osur lismoch, that the first guy, when he dug his pit, he already had accounted for the pit wall thickness, and was as such he never dug up to the border, because that would have been a violation of lismoch, and Rava holds it's also lismoch. Elo la'abaye de kosovar mutur lismoch, but according to Abaye, that says the initial digging of the pit could be, assuming that you're not digging simultaneously with the neighbor, Abaye holds you could dig right up to the border. The kamar lamai nafgamina, and the Gemara asks, well, according to Abaye, who says you can be soimech, what nafgamina is there in my knowing that the pit has a wall, or is expected to have a wall of three tfachim, when the initial digging could have been right along the border? So on that, the Gemara answers, nafgamina is for mekach u memkar, that if you orders a bor to be made, the one who's making the bor, preparing the bor for you, must, in addition to digging out the bor, provide a wall of 3 tvachim in thickness. E la'ashminin the boy archoka vov tvachim. If, however, you were to suggest that the, as far as Abaye is concerned, the nafkamina in knowing that a wall of a bor is 3 tvachim, is that if the two would come to dig at once, then you would have to have a distance of 6 tvachim between the two pits. If that were the nafkamina, then listening, the Gemara should have said Elohim kein hirchik miboro vav tvachim, and it doesn't say that. So that's not what the Mishnah was trying to teach when it said that when it explained that the distancing of 3 tvachim is mikosel boro, but rather the nafkamina, the practical application of that knowledge is for mekach u'memkar, as the Gemara said. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur Maschil Abaye, and we're going to call this Abaye number 1, because as you can see there's the Tosfos after this has the same Dibur Maschil. This is a reference to the Gemara, 12 lines from the top. Abaye Omar Soimech Deho Eino Asuya Laboros. We were dealing with the, we'll say, the first Lashon of the Gemara, where if it's a Sodeh that's made for Boros, everyone agrees you can't be Soimech. The Machlokas between Abaye and Rava arises in the case of a Sodeh that's not Asuya Laboros, and Abaye says in that case, it's in that case that Abaye maintains his position of being soimech. Why? Because it's not. There's no expectation of the neighbor also wanting to dig a pit, because it's eino asui laboros. V'hoyel v'chein, and since it's a soda that's not asui laboros, eino mazik lo im hu soimech. By the first guy deciding to dig the pit right up along the border, he's not imposing. He's not impinging upon his neighbor. He's not causing his neighbor any loss. V'koshel Rashba. What do you mean he's not causing the neighbor any loss? Toho mafsid hu. He is causing him a loss. In what sense? The im shemita ilon. If the second guy should decide to plant a tree, yitzorech larchiko yoiser machmas shesoymer ze ad hametzar. Since there is a rule that when you want to plant a tree and the neighbor has on his property a pit, you have to plant your tree in such a way that there is a distance of 25 amos between the tree you're planting and his pit. So now it's the further toward the border that the neighbor dug his pit, that's going to push the second guy, that neighbor, further into his own property before he can plant a tree. So if the first guy would have planted, had dug the bore into his own property, not on the border, so then the second guy wouldn't have had to be restricted to planting his tree so far into his own property. So why do we derive from Abaye's position that since it's Eino Asuya Laboros, the first guy can dig the pit right up to the border, and that's not causing any, he's not impinging on the neighbor whatsoever. Not so. With regard to the neighbor deciding at some point to plant a tree, he's now going to have to plant his tree further into his own property. V'yesh Lomar. And we answer, the Mikomokom Einoi oise loy hezek. After all said and done, by the first guy digging the pit on the border, he's not damaging, he's not causing damage to the second guy, the neighbor. Toho de marchik yoiser, that which the second guy is going to have to move into his own property further, lo mitnei shelo yazikenu habor. That's not in order to protect himself from the damage that the boar is going to cause the tree, El Meshalo Yazik Hu Labor. The moving further in is that his tree should not pose a damage to the pit. Ulahachi Ein Lozeh Lohaniach Milismoch Bishvil Kach. And because of that consideration, that's not reason enough to impose restriction on the first guy from digging the pit right up on the border. Deim lo kain. Well, if you're not going to say that, but you're going to say that it's obligatory on the pit digger, the first guy who dug his pit, not to impose restrictions on the second guy who wants to plant this tree, well, then yachid kol chofei amo as boro. Then have the first guy be obligated to dig his pit a full 25 amas into his own property, so as not to create any imposition on the tree guy, so that the tree guy should have the ability to plant his tree right up along the border. And no one says anything like that. There's no suggestion that when you want to dig your pit, you have to dig it in a full 25 amas into your own property. Therefore, the suggestion that the pit dug up along the border is causing a loss to the second guy who wants to plant the tree by forcing the tree to be planted further into the second guy's property, that is not something that one needs to take into consideration. We continue now with the Tosfos, the same Dibur HaMaschil, Abaye. Abaye Omar Somech, we call this Abaye number two. Omeri, Dilishtei Halishonos LaAbaye, Omar Somech. In our Gemara, we had two Lishonos. We had numbered them as Roman numerals 1 and 2. According to both versions of Abaye, where Abaye says Somech, Imbo Echod Lachpor Bor LaAchar Mikan. If the second guy comes later on to dig his own pit, Tzorahu Laharchiv Kol Shisha Tvochim, he will have to move a full 6 tvochim into his property before he can dig his pit. And that is because the first pit, once again, according to Abaye, which was allowed to be dug all right up along the border, that pit is entitled to 3 tvochim of wall, and the second pit that will be dug also will have its own 3 tvochim of wall. And that, by then definition, will force the second guy to dig his pit a full 6 tvochim into his own property. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, LeAbaye Nicha. This is a reference to the Gemara 17 lines from the top. There the Gemara said, we must make a correction. The Tosfos LaAbaye Nicha is a reference to the Gemara 17 lines up from the bottom of the Gemara. And in order to appreciate the point Tosfos is going to make, it's worth going back to the Gemara at that point where the Gemara was saying, according to the first Lashon that said that the Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, was in a Sada Shein Asui Leboros, and we were Medayik, that you could be Soimech. So the Gemara said, Bishlam Abaye Nicha. Well, things work out well for Abaye, who said, you can be Somech. But according to Rava, we have a difficulty, because according to the first Lashon, there's no... according to the first Lashon, as far as Rava is concerned, there's no possibility of being Somech, and yet the diuk we made from the Mishnah was that you could be Somech. So when we also have to add that when we learned the Mishnah and it said It said Ellen Kane Hirchik mi Kaisel Chavero, it means mi Kaisel Boro. La Abaye Nicha, Tosa says, Hashta Salka Daitoch, the thinking right now is the mi Kaisel Boro, that when we interpreted the Mishnah as saying keep a distance from the Kaisel Boro of three Tvachim, Hainu Mechalal Boro. That means keep a distance of three Tvachim from the interior of the bor. Once again, because the Abaye's position is that if you're an initial digger, you're not coming to dig at the same time, you can dig right up along the border. So if you're digging right up along the border, the reference to distancing yourself mikosel boro would mean from the, we'll say, the interior lining of the pit wall, which is from the interior of the pit, the halal. And however, velo dikdek boloshon, the exact choice of words wasn't done with perfection. Hence, we have this understanding, even though the word suggested mikosel boro. We continue now with the Tosfos Divur HaMaschil Hochi Gar Sinon. This is a reference to the Gemara, seven lines from the bottom. Hochi Gar Sinon Besforim Yishonim. Just a word of content and structure. We have on the side a taktzir along with a mivneh note. The trapezoid that you see highlights the following. Tosfos mevi shtei girsois b'ikvos habraisa sela habov yadayim. You'll see two versions coming on the heels of the Gemara's reference to a soil quality that we call crumbly soil. And you'll see a double underline marking in the Tosfos. Huva kikushya. You'll see a point. Tosis makes reference to that which the Gemara quotes was brought as a question on Al Abaye. That's what you see in our Tosis text Kosh Abaye on the third wide line. You see Uporach Lerova. So there, the Gemara text had been brought as according to this other girsa that we'll see is being brought as a question on Rova. Later in the Tosis, you'll see a house marking. That highlights the machlokas Rabbeinu Tam v'ri im yesh lechalek bein bo biyodayim le'eno bo biyodayim legabi lismoch. Is there a basis or a reason to make a distinction between crumbly soil versus solid soil regarding the issue of lismoch? Now the Tosfos. Chochi gar sinon besforim yishonim. Sela habo biyodayim v'chule. This is a quote from the Brisa. Ze marchik gimel tvoch v'sod besid. And that having been stated, being brought in the Gemara, pirush v'koshel abayin. And by the fact that the Brisa said ze marchik gimel tvochim, that is presents a kashen abaye, because abaye said you can be soymech. You don't have to distance yourself from the border. And the Gemara then answered for the benefit of Abaye, Hochi, Nami, here too, the Brisa is speaking, Shebo Lachbor Shnei Bevasachas. The two neighbors came to dig their pits simultaneously. Ubov Yadayim Itzterich Lei. The important point is that they both came to dig together. It nevertheless had to teach that we're dealing with crumbly soil. Once again, not to make any inferences, but rather, Sakadaita Chamina, Kevon de Bobi Odayim, I would have thought without the source that since this is crumbly soil, Liboy Revochot Fe, you would require even greater distancing. Chomash Malon, we don't require greater distancing. But as far as Abaye is concerned, the source is no problem because it's talking about a case where the two parties came to dig simultaneously. Abaye's whole din of lismoch is where one came to dig on his own initially without the other neighbor, without the neighbor coming along at the same time. V'hashta lo hayatzorach lasuke ubo biyadayim itzdirichale. In truth, the Gemara did not have to say that it was necessary to teach concerning crumbly soil. Shere lo hikshiklum mibo biyadayim. The bringing of the source was as a question on Abaye was not from. Had nothing to do with the crumbly soil. The question raised by the source was from the fact that it said marchik, that you have to distance yourself. From that, the question was posed on Abaye, and the answer to that is that there's no question because the source is about the two people coming to dig at the same time. Elo agav de icy brisa meforesh law, but the Gemara that went on to say Baal B'Yadayim Itzdrich Aleh, that wasn't necessary as an answer for Abaye, but once we cite the Braisa that happened to speak about Baal B'Yadayim, so the Gemara elaborated and explained it a little further, what I would have thought had it not actually said Baal B'Yadayim. But the main point is that in order to answer on behalf of Abaye, that information was not essential in order to resolve the question raised against Abaye. V'yesh sforim degarsi. There are versions that have the following. Taimo, why is it necessary to be marchik de bo biyodayim? Ha lo bo biyodayim lo. If it wouldn't have been crumbly soil, then there would have been no need for being marchik uporach l'rava. And then if you have that as your girsa, then the source and the following inference of the Gemara shows that the Gemara's intention is to ask on Rava. Rava who said, you're never allowed to be soimech. And the inference from the Gemara is that if it wasn't crumbly soil, you would have, yes, been allowed to be Samach. That, again, would be a Kashan Rava Umishani. And the Gemara to that answers, Huadin, Afilu Lo Bo Biyodayim. The truth is, you would have had to be Marchik even if it was solid soil. Ubo Biyodayim, it's Drichalei V'chulei. And the Raisa in accounting for Bo Biyodayim, that was necessary for if it had not been taught, I would have thought that when you're dealing with crumbly soil, you'd have to move in even more. V'ein nira l'rabenu tam l'chalek l'inyan heter lismoch bein bo biyodayim u'bein lo bo biyodayim. As far as the Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, if you're focusing on the question of whether you're allowed to be soimech or not, then it's either you're allowed to or not allowed to, but no room for distinction between soil qualities. As far as crumbly soil versus not crumbly soil, as far as the Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, that doesn't affect the halach of whether you're allowed to be soimach or not. Ulari nira l'chalek shapir. According to the Ri, he says that is reason for making a distinction. The afagav de lo bo biyadayim shori lismoch, even though in solid soil you would be allowed to be soimech, but bo biyadayim also lismoch. If it's crumbly soil, you would not be allowed to be soimech. Lefisha karka mizbakas, v'nefeles karka shel sodeh chavero. If you're dealing with crumbly soil, we can't allow you to be soimech because by digging right up along the border in a crumbly soil situation, you're causing direct damage to the neighbor's property by his soil then crumbling and falling in. We continue now with the next Tosfos. Dibra Maschil Marchikin. This corresponds to the Gemara at the bottom line. Marchikin is a Gefes. Mikoisloi shel chavero. And the Gemara inferred taima deika koisel haleka koisel soimech. The only reason that you have to keep the gefes away is because the neighbor has a wall there. If the neighbor did not have a wall there, you could put your gefes down right on the border. Pirush v'koshel Rava. And this would pose a difficulty for Rava. Rava says you can't be soimech here. I'm saying if there was no wall there, you could be soimech. To put the gefes right down on the border. Fatema, Tosfos asks, my kushya, how is this any difficulty for Rava? Hachavadai mutulismoch. Here, even Rava would agree you can put the gefes down on the border. B'shein kaisel, if there's no wall there. Shein maziklum. You're not causing any damage. There's nothing to damage. There's nothing there. Ukshiachboi zeh lazis kaisel. And when the neighbor should decide to put up a wall, yosir es hagefes, you will simply remove the gefes from over there. So Tosfos is wondering, why is this din of not having to be marchik the gefes if there's no wall? How is that at all a question on Rava? Rava having said you're not allowed to be Semech, and the inference we're making from this source is that you are allowed to be Semech. But as we said, that's not a difficulty for Rava. Rava would agree very quickly that there's nothing here, that there's nothing to damage that would warrant distancing the gefes from the border. V'yesh lomar, we answer, dehani nami, the gefes, zevel, melach, these materials cited in the Mishnah, mekaklin esakarka, they have an ill effect on the ground. Ve'yazik l'kaiselich she'iboneh afilu shuv yosir. We'll call this the presence of gefes on the soil causes permanent damage. Permanent damage, so much so that even though there's no wall there now, if the neighbor should decide at some point to build a wall, the presence of the gefes now, even if you remove it later on, poses a source of damage, of difficulty for the eventual wall to be built. So that with this understanding, we know that even without a wall being there, there is a source of damage here, and still, and this is the main point, and still we were medayek that if there's no wall, you could be soimech, even though you have a nezek situation right now. That is the kashon rova. V'odo mari, de bechol elu, with regard to these substances, the gefes, the zevel, the melech, all of these, yesh torach besi lukan. What was suggested in Tosfos' kasha is that when the neighbor eventually wants to build a wall, so you will remove the gefes, melech, and zevel, not so quickly. The removal of these materials is done only with great trouble. Ulekach, and from right now, namely even without a wall being there, you would think that the neighbor who wants eventually to build a wall, he could stop him from right now. Because there's room to suspect that maybe the guy that wants to put down the gefes there is not going to remove it so quickly when the other fellow wants to eventually build his wall. And with all of that in mind, we still were medayik that if there's no wall, you could be soimech, you could put the gefes right there on the border. And that was the difficulty posed against Rava. V'im toimar akati mai porach l'Rava. You might say, well, still, what's the question on Rava? From that which we're saying that if there's no wall there, so you can't put down the gefes. Ha meforish taimoli el. It was explained earlier that the law of not being soimech the pit. We said that that law was mishum dechomora umora dechomachis marpis laroi. The damage that that is caused by digging a pit on the border is damage through loosening the soil of the neighbor's property. That each shovel thrust into the ground loosens the neighbor's soil. And now, if there is no soil loosening consideration, then even Rava would agree you can be soimech. And with regard to distancing the Gefes, Zevel, and Melach, there's no soil loosening consideration there, so Rava would agree. So what's the kasha on Rava? V'yesh lomar tahu taimo, that explanation of soil loosening through each shovel thrust, lo ka'omar la liba de Rabbi Yossi, that was said in light of Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Shitas Rabbi Yossi is basically you don't have to distance the things you want to do from your neighbor unless it's a shail of giri delay, that what you're doing right now is immediate damage done to the neighbor, like the shooting of arrows. So it's only only with Rabbi Yossi in mind do we apply that svora of the chomora mora kormochis marbis laroi. In our discussion right now is within the opinion of the Rabbonan, who are more restrictive than Rabbi Yossi, and all at the outset require or are mindful of the need for distancing, and with the shita of the Rabbonan in mind, we are raising, we're introducing this source as a question. And just to repeat, the source of damage of Marpis Laroi is not relevant when it comes to Shitas HaRabbonan, according to whom our discussion right now in the Gemara is taking place. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.